carry out our parish's mission of inviting all people to encounter Christ and inspiring them to become saints, we don't really need to become disciples of the Lord ourselves first. Again, kind of continuing the theme over our last few weeks, a disciple is someone who is striving for greatness, intentionally aiming to root out sins and weaknesses in their life, to grow in virtues, to deepen their friendship with Christ Jesus. Again, over the last few weeks, we've spoken about prayer and fellowship as two essential ways of growing as a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And for the next few weeks, I'd like to say a bit about the next essential part of that discipleship, receiving the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist and confession, beginning with the Eucharist. Chinese authorities burst into the church. The commander ordered the soldiers to tear down the tabernacle from the sanctuary. They opened the tabernacle and scattered the consecrated hosts across the floor. The men trampled on the Eucharist, while the commander sneered at the crowd. "Do you still believe in those fairy tales your priest told you?" The soldiers arrested the priest and locked him in a metal bunker inside the church. Trapped, he peered out through a small slit, watching as he saw people forced outside. He could see the Eucharistic hosts left desecrated on the floor. For days, the church remained totally silent. Guards were posted around the church, and no one was allowed to enter. But one day, the priest looked through the slit in the bunker where he was confined and saw someone sneaking into the church. It was a young girl, 13 years old, kneeling in prayer, crawling on her hands and knees toward the hosts on the floor. She bent down and received a single host on her tongue, prayed for a while, and then left. The next day, the little girl returned, taking one more host. She did this daily, receiving just one host at a time. For a month, she entered the church each day, risking being caught by the authorities. Finally, only one host remained. She entered the church again to receive it. She made her prayers as usual, but shortly after she leaned down and received Jesus for the last time, she made a slight noise. The guard heard her, and the church doors burst open behind her. The priest heard a shot and saw the body of the young girl fall to the floor. She died as a martyr, giving her life for Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. As he pondered the little girl's witness, that same soldier was struck to the heart. Inspired by her faith, he let the priest from the bunker go. The soldier told the priest, "If in every city there were one such girl as this one, there would not be a soldier left who would fight for communism." Does this story change your perception of what it means to be devoted to Jesus in the Eucharist. So how? What this little girl did makes no sense at all if the Eucharist is just a piece of bread. But she saw something in those consecrated hosts beyond just bread. She understood the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the fact that the bread and the wine at Mass are changed into Christ's body and blood. And it was this truth that drove her to risk her life to protect Jesus in the Eucharist from further desecration. Where do Catholics get this idea of the real presence, as we call it? If you had to explain the Catholic belief in the Eucharist to someone else, would you be able to do it? First, let's make sure we understand clearly the teaching itself. Since the time of the apostles, Christians have believed that the bread and the wine of the Mass are changed into Christ's body and blood. It's not a chemical change. If you put the consecrated host under a microscope, you'd still see the chemical properties of bread. But we, for 2,000 years, have believed that what that young girl in China believed and died for, that during the Last Supper on the night before he died, Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body." And underneath, those outward sensible appearances of bread is the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Second, we need to grasp clearly the biblical foundations for the Eucharist. And while many scriptural passages shed light on this mystery, there's one in particular that gives the richest insights. It's John's Gospel, chapter 6, which, by the way, we heard for several weekends back in late July and August. Well, many Christians think of the Eucharist in a more symbolic way. In John's Gospel, Jesus says that he is the true bread of life, and that one must eat his flesh and drink his blood if they are to have eternal life. Jesus uses strong language that is to be taken literally, not metaphorically. When his followers question what he is saying, he buckles down. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you." The crowd clearly understood Jesus in this literal way. They grumbled and complained about this radical idea, and many no longer followed him as a result. Do you believe in the real presence? Could you explain it to someone else? What difference does this truth make in your life? How does this affect the way that you come forward to receive him in the Mass? Our second reading today comes from the letter of the Hebrews, a passage that we heard today. I think it helps us to imagine that Jesus is in his throne room in his Father's house. And from that divine headquarters, he is both preparing a place in heaven for each of his followers and also ruling his kingdom and all of history through his providence. It's sort of the image that this letter to the Hebrews constructs for us. It is as if Jesus is our representative in heaven, interceding for us as an ambassador intercedes for someone with a foreign government. And what is he interceding for? First of all, mercy. Mercy, the total forgiveness and healing of our past. And second of all, grace, it says. The strength, the light, the courage we need for whatever the present and future may bring us. Well, that is the true message of the Eucharist. Jesus chose to remain with us under the appearance of bread. What is bread? One of our most basic foods. Bread gives our body strength so that we can continue our physical activity. In the sacrament of the Eucharist, Jesus is truly present, giving our souls the nourishment and strength we need to continue our spiritual journeys toward wisdom and holiness. That is, our life as a disciple, our life of discipleship. The Eucharist puts us in touch with Christ, who is at the same time interceding for us in heaven and his Father's throne. And in that way, he becomes the source of our Christian life, the source of our being able to live as a disciple. Do you hunger for the Eucharist as this source of nourishment as a disciple? Next time, we'll say a bit more about the Eucharist in the life of a disciple.